Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Doran Dickerson, Pat Bostic, Nicholas Harry-Callis here with you on the Fan Morning Show. And joining us right now is Ray Fittipaldo of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Ray, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you this morning?
Not bad.
Hello, Ray.
Good morning, Patrick.
Crowley is out. He's on paternity leave. He's out for 2 weeks, so he'll be chilling. And I think he has a bachelor party. So next week I'll be out, so I don't know who's going to be filling in. But we got you right now, Ray. And, you know, we were just talking about training camp. I mean, about a month away till the Steelers report. And do you have any interesting position battles that you're looking at for training camp?
Yeah, I mean, there are several. If you look at it, Doran, they're all pretty much on offense. You kind of got the three-way thing at tackle, right, with Jones, Faletanu, and Moore. How is that going to play out? I think we all know Steelers aren't going to rush that. You know, they're going to make Faletanu earn it, but that's the big one for me. I want to see when Faletanu gets that opportunity with the ones, does he seize it? And then obviously there are going to be domino effects after that. And then beyond that, guys, there's center with Herbig and Frazier. There's receiver, you know, Roman Wilson versus, you know, Scotty Miller, Van Jefferson, Quez Watkins, you know, all those guys. So there are like three or four battles that are going to happen here. And, you know, I don't know that we're going to find out in late July what they're thinking, but I think by mid-August we're going to get a feel for how they feel about all those positions.
Ray, what's your best bet on the starting left and right tackle for the season opener?
For the season opener? Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go – I've been pretty consistent on this. I'm going to go Faletanu up on the right side and Broderick Jones kicks over to the left. And my reasoning for that, you know, it's hard to tell, guys, like, in, especially with offensive linemen in OTAs and minicamp because the pads aren't on. But I'm just leaning on his experience at Washington, 30 career starts. It's a different situation than what Broderick Jones went through last year. I think Broderick genuinely had to, you know, tighten some things up before they can put him out there. I think Faletanu is going to be a little bit different. It's hard for me to say 100% because we haven't seen him in pads yet. And, you know, there is that transition from left to right that he's currently going through. But I think Jones will be on the left side, and I think Faletanu will be the right side for that season opener.
Give us a surprise, surprising player throughout training camp and preseason that we'll be like, oh, man, this guy had a really, really good camp, and he has the opportunity to either make the team or be a big component to the Steelers winning this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard for me to – because I don't know Arthur's offense, you know, intimately. Doran, you probably have a better feel for that. But there's this Jack Coletto guy, this fullback from Oregon State. And I don't know how much he's used a fullback in Atlanta or Tennessee, but – Coletto is a big guy. He's versatile. Obviously, he would have to make it on special teams first, and then, you know, maybe he carves out a niche on offense. He was intriguing for me. Again, a fullback in shorts. Again, you can't really tell a lot, but, you know, I'm watching him. And then, of course, you know, the receiver situation. The one guy who stood out to me among the receivers, I don't think he's a number two, but I think he could earn a spot on this team, is Scotty Miller. Scotty Miller and Russell Wilson had a little bit of chemistry in OTAs and minicamp. Russ looked to him a lot, and I want to see if that continues up at St. Vincent as well.
So the speculation continues. Does Deebo Samuel or Brandon Ayuk make it to Pittsburgh? Does that happen or not?
Yeah, I mean, Pat, just from reading some of the coverage in San Francisco, it seems to me that San Francisco cannot afford to have Ayuk and Samuel on their team beyond the 2024 season, okay? The question becomes, is it going to be a distraction for them to have Samuel and Ayuk on their team in 2024? And you kind of look at what Ayuk's been doing, you know, social media, and he's putting stuff out there. I think he's kind of putting some pressure on the situation. You know, Deebo had his thing a couple years ago where he wanted a new contract, and I don't think he's entirely happy now. So, you know, Ayuk is in the last year of his deal. He's on the rookie option. Deebo has, you know, basically 2 years left on his deal. I saw yesterday, I looked it up. San Francisco can get out from under that after the 2024 season, but they'd be taking a, you know, there'd be a little bit of cap damage, you know, for them, you know, walking away from that. So different situations, but, you know, for the Steelers, I think the price would have to come down. They'd have to get one of those guys probably for a 2025 second round pick or so. And then, of course, you know, they have to decide, can we pay Debo $25 million a year? Can we pay Ayuk probably more than that? That's, you know, that's the calculus that they're probably going through right now.
Ray, I think that this is ridiculous, and I firmly believe that the Steelers will not go this route, but it's been floated out there, and it's been floated out there multiple times. And Crowley honestly started this about a month and a half ago, and I told him he was ridiculous. I don't think the Steelers are going to do this, but we might as well ask you the question. If this quarterback situation doesn't work out with Justin Fields and Russell Wilson, could you see the Steelers exploring signing Dak Prescott?
Yeah, I mean, but Dak is what? I mean, Dak is making over $40 million with the Cowboys, right? So for me, he's not, no matter what happens, let's say he has a bad year in Dallas. I mean, he's not going to come down to the point where he's going to be a bargain. And I say bargain, you know, like Baker Mayfield makes like $30 million, $33 million a year now. So even those mid-tier quarterbacks who are in that transition from, you know, I don't know, Dak has been like, what, top 12, top 10 type of guy. Even if he's not viewed that way anymore, is he going to want to take a $10 million pay cut? So, I mean, I'm with you, Doran. I don't think that's a viable option. And to be honest with you, I don't know what's going to happen to Fields or Wilson. I think, I don't want to call it a disaster, but I think the hope within the Steelers organization, obviously, is one of those guys works out. And I think preferably for them, it would be Russell Wilson, and they could ride this out for a year or two beyond 2024.
Crowley brought up Prescott.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. A while ago.
He thinks it's a good idea.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, dear God.
I know. And we had a nice back and forth about it. And then Jeremy Fowler.
He asked for like $64 million now.
That's what I said. Yeah. Like, I mean, then Jeremy Fowler and some other outlets have reported, oh, Dak Prescott could be an option. So that just fueled Crowley. His head's as big as this room right now, thinking that he started it. Of course.
I literally lost my train of thought completely.
Stadium.
As a result of that, as a result of that breaking news. Sorry, Ray. I apologize for that. I just, it floored me. I've literally been floored by a young little man.
Ray, the Steelers, you know, they're competing in the offseason. They're signing quarterbacks, and obviously, Russell, we just talked about it, and they're trying to, you know, possibly get another wide receiver. But they need to be competing in the other area, I believe. And Jacksonville is building a new stadium. It's going to be over $1 billion. Buffalo's building a new stadium. It's going to be over $1 billion. The Titans are building a new stadium, over $1 billion. And Carolina, over $1 billion. The Steelers probably are not going to build a new stadium, but do you think that they will make the appropriate renovations in the coming years to Acrisure Stadium?
Yeah, and there's always going to be you know, tension between the county and the city because, you know, it doesn't always seem like everyone is on the same page about who is going to pay for that type of stuff. But eventually, I do think they'll get it done. I mean, listen, I do think it's probably a little bit too early to be talking about a new stadium. And it was 2001, so it's not even 25 years old yet. So, you know, I think we'd probably have to be talking over 30 years old, maybe even over 35 before we go down that road. But, yeah, I think eventually at some point they are going to need a new stadium. You know, it might be 2034 instead of 2024, but that's probably coming down the road. So, you know, Doran, I compare it to what happens in college football. Everyone's building these facilities, these practice facilities. It's, you know, it's an arms race. And that's the case in the NFL, too. You got to match what other people are doing. So, yeah, I mean, it's not coming in the near future, but in the long-term future, I don't think it's out of the question that we are talking about a new stadium probably within about a decade or so.
Thank you, Ray. I would say we would talk to you next week, but I don't know who will be in our place. So
someone will talk to you next week, Ray.
Someone will talk to you next week.
I'm sure Nicholas Callis will keep me abreast of the situation.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We'll see you, Ray. Have a good day.
All right. See you.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Pat, I have a question for you about what Pitt just did, the Pitt football team, and how that is still a thing for incoming players. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Dickerson, Bostic, Callis behind the glass here with you on the Fan Morning Show. Crowley is out on paternity leave. Coming up next, we have John Wehner. And at 9 a.m., Doug Whaley, I believe, is live in studio today. He will join us to finish out the show in the 9 o'clock hour. We're talking about renovations, Pat. We're talking about new stadiums in the NFL. But Pitt football, they just did a renovation to their locker room. And I saw the video. I haven't been down there yet to check it out. I'll probably go down next week or in 2 weeks to see what that's all about. But it was already nice before. And then it got me thinking, like, our locker room compared to now is just... And people talk about, oh, the Steelers side is just awful. And the Steelers side, whenever we were in college, was way worse than we had it at Pitt. And it's and what we had it is not even close to what it's like now. It's unbelievable. But my question to you is that still enticing to recruits? Has NIL really taken over that a little bit? Like, for us, it was like, okay, what stadium are we going to play in? You know, for us, it's like, okay, we're practicing next to the Steelers. How are the locker rooms? How are the facilities? Like, that was a big thing for guys like us and literally like 10 years ago. But now it's about money. It's about how much can I get paid? Do guys even really look at that stuff anymore? Even though Pitt has done a fantastic job of upgrading everything in that facility.
Yeah, I think they do. Listen, I don't think that NIL, you know, lowered anyone's expectations on everything else that matters to success, to competing, to becoming the best player you can be. Facilities, nutrition, strength and conditioning, all that stuff. I don't think just because you're paying, you know, because players are getting paid, they're going to be okay, like, flying commercial to a game, mm-hmm. right? Like, it's you still got to keep up in that regard. And I think it shows an investment in the facility. I think, obviously, I mean, the lockers have their picture on it.
Oh, that's
they've
crazy.
Got their, like, they've got action shots of the players. Like, it's, and I think, you know, when you're a program like Pitt, like West Virginia, that you're not going to be the biggest spender in the market, and that's just being honest. You've got to have factors that differentiate you. I think the facility offerings at Pitt, you know, the value proposition that's put out is different. It's unique, right? You could try it out and watch OTAs at minicamp with the Steelers. Yeah. I mean, that's there's nowhere else you can do that. And then you walk into a facility that's candidly better than the one next door to you, and it's been kept up with, it's been upgraded by donors that care about the program, people that give money to do these things. And that's part of the enjoyment I get in my job is like, hey, like, people have invested in that. And it's been well over $10 million since Pat Narduzzi's been the coach at Pitt. Yeah, it's not a new stadium. It's not, you know, a $1.4 billion stadium, but it's the environment you're in every single day. And it's like taking care of your house. You know, just because, you know, listen, you're making more money or you got a better job doesn't mean you don't take care of your house. And that's the way I look at it. And I think it turned out great. I mean, I can't imagine how they figured that out spatially. It's not a big locker room,
mm-hmm.
but it's like a spaceship.
Yeah, seriously.
Lights everywhere.
Like, I really want to get down there to see it because it was unbelievable before. And I'm like, what in the hell else could they do to upgrade this? And they've obviously come up with something. Like, I can't imagine seeing it in person because I've been in the new locker room a couple times. And I'm just like looking around like this is it's amazing.
Well, and these kids are in there so much too. That, like, 9 years for lockers is a long time.
Uh-huh.
Like, those things get beat to hell. And these ones now, I mean, they you put your shoes and your shoulder pads up top and it sucks all the moisture out of them.
Wow.
The locker room doesn't smell, right? There's storage everywhere. You can kick back and recline. You can, but, you know, and again, players are getting paid. Okay. They walk into that locker room. They feel good about it. It's just like the NFL.
Yeah.
Do you think the players that voted and graded facilities just don't care? Do you think Steelers players don't care about the facilities? No. I mean, clearly they do because they've showed up at the bottom of the league in every measurable category relative to facilities the last five times they've done the survey.
Mm-hmm.
So it matters.
Mm-hmm.
And those guys are getting paid well in the NFL. So I think that stuff does still matter. I think when things inevitably change here in a year to more of a revenue sharing model, there'll be a counterbalance of, hey, this stuff still does matter. So I'm glad that you know we've made that investment. We've had people that have supported it.
We've had you on in the last 2 weeks, and you've explained the revenue share, the new model that's going down in college football and basketball and college sports. Can you explain that, like how that would look for people that are listening right now? Because it's one thing to see it, you know, in an article, right. Like, oh, I guess that the, you know, football is going to get 90% and you know, all the other sports are going to get the rest of the 10%. Like, no, how is it actually possibly going to be split if you can talk to that?
So a lot of it has to be worked out. The House case was settled in principle, and now it's going through a drafting process where the explicit, the details will be written out and then reviewed, and then, you know, there'll be counters and back and forth, and then ultimately probably sometimes in the winter, and I've had Ross Dellinger from Yahoo on a number of times, he's really on it, probably sometimes, you know, late fall, winter, you'll have a finalized version. The long and short of it is it's $20 to $22 million a year that Power Four athletic department's going to allocate towards, can not have to, but can allocate towards paying student athletes for their name, image, and likeness. They're not employees. It protects that provision, but it pays them for their name, image, and likeness, which is, that's a significant line item on any budget. It's roughly 20% of an average peer Power Four athletic department's revenues. And there's no new revenue coming in that's guaranteed to offset that. So it's a big nut. What's yet to be determined is how does Title IX, which is, as it applies to athletics, you know, promises equal opportunities for male and female student athletes. How does that apply? And what's the balance between Title IX and market value? Because there's a lot of measurable dollars and figures you can point to say that football and basketball players, men's and women, men's football, men's basketball players, bring in the lion's share of the revenue. That is absolutely a fact. However, there's a lot you can point to too about female sports and their growth and viewership and things of that nature. So how do you split up the pie?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what is remains to be seen. And does everyone do it the same,
mm-hmm,
consistently? I think in either case, what's unfortunate is we're probably still going to be in a world of lawsuits, one way or the other. But what's good about this model, in my opinion, is at least you're bringing things back to the universities managing them.
Mm-hmm.
I think the collectives will still exist, but at least they can say, okay, everyone's got the same amount of money. Yes, there will be NIL and there will be collectives that augment and increase deals, but at least there's a level playing field, similar to the NFL or Major League Baseball or the National Basketball Association, whatever it may be, and at least we're playing the same game for the most part. But the details are still certainly not done yet.
Fan Morning Show Twitter poll brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. Do you think we'll ever get to a point in the near future where there will be contracts? Well, we'll be in just you're employed.
I don't know. I think it's heading in that direction. Certainly you've seen a lot of, particularly at private institutions, unionization efforts and things like that, collective bargaining. You know, there's part of me, Doran, that's like a contract, a multi-year contract would serve the young person better,
yeah,
than, you know, perpetual arbitration,
yeah,
and negotiation. Because my biggest quibble with it, we're talking about like our lives, is like, you're not being prepared for the real world by going to market every 6 months. You know, you'll find yourself out of work really fast,
mm-hmm,
in the real world if you decide to do that. And I'm all for getting what you can when you can get it. But are we equipping young men and women to have the stick-to-itiveness and perseverance and ability to deal with adversity and failure that's going to happen in life, whether it's family, whether it's business, whatever it is, man, like, can't just walk away after 6 months and then go ask for more money somewhere else. You know, it's, mm-hmm, that's my challenge with it. And not that there aren't circumstances where that is merited, but a multi-year contract, man, like if you break a contract, there are consequences.
Yes.
In every walk of life, and except for what we're doing right now. And listen, I think the NCAA, universities, athletics as a whole, it's gotten pretty fat and happy with TV deals and coaching contracts, so we should have saw this coming. But the rollout has been a bit of a disaster, and we've got to get that right.
Listen to the Starkey Show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at 12 p.m. at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. Pirates won last night 9-5 over the Cincinnati Reds, and we have our guy, John Wehner, joining us next. And yes, we do have the man, the Rock, John Wehner. He's joining us on the Fan Morning Show. John Wehner brought to you in part by Gutter Helmet. Say goodbye to gutter cleaning forever. Gutter Helmet by Lednar Home Solutions, 888-5-HELMET. Wehner, how's it going, man? How you doing?
You know, I'm doing good. I'm just losing my mind a little bit here. I'm like, you know, my alarm went off. I just went and got a coffee. I'm looking around. I'm like, I don't have to be at the park for a while. Well, why did I set my alarm? I was like, what's that? The phone's ringing. I'm looking. I'm like, who's calling me?
You forgot you had your appearance today, and your appearance is brought to you by Allegiant Federal Credit Union. Shape your future. Visit AllegiantFCU.org. Wehner, we are going to talk about the Pirates' win yesterday. We are going to talk about where the Pirates are in the season and what they need to do. But do you know what anniversary is today in Pirates history?
Today's anniversary is June 26th. For some stupid reason, I know it's Jason Kendall's birthday. June 26th. I have no idea.
23-year anniversary whenever Lloyd McClendon got tossed and picked up the first base and carries it back to the dugout. You were on that team, right?
I was on that team. That was about a month before I got released for good. But that was a treat. That was something else. And, you know, he's mad. And I was in the dugout during all that and with other players. It was hard not to laugh. And you don't want to – I mean, it kind of looks bad if you're laughing at your manager going crazy. But – That was one of the funniest things I've ever seen on a baseball field.
I was like 13 years old, and I remember that clear as day. I was like, what is going on? I couldn't imagine being a player and looking at my teammates and being like, do we laugh or do we hold it in? That'd be tough.
We were trying to hold it in, you know, some better than others. I mean, I've seen some great tirades, especially from Jim Leland, but nothing like that. That was one of the best of all time. I'm pretty sure they still have that base floating around at the ballpark.
John, Brian Reynolds, 22-game hit streak. I mean, he's just been unbelievable. And I think I asked you last week, like, what is that? Is that seeing the ball? Is that feeling comfortable being in sync with yourself? But, you know, he's really been the reason why, you know, the Pirates win games like they did last night. Just been unbelievable. And I think that streak is going to last. I think he continues that today. I think the last person to do that was Jason Kendall, and like you said, today was his birthday. But Brian Reynolds, unbelievable, isn't he?
He really is. And, you know, and thank goodness for him because, you know, we're still just kind of treading water here, you know, right in the middle of this division, not gaining any ground on the Brewers, in fact, losing some ground to the Cardinals. And he's a big part of the reason, and the pitching again continues to do their end of the deal and keep the Pirates in the games for the most part. But offensively, yeah, it's been fun to watch. I think it was his second at bat against Hunter Green. I'm sitting there thinking he had such a good first at bat, got the hang and breaking ball, hit the ball out of the ballpark. His second at bat, you got a guy throwing 99 miles an hour. He's throwing them splits. He's throwing them sliders. He's not even flinching. You know, that goes to tell you how locked in a guy is when, you know, sometimes you'll see the check swings and everything else like that, or a guy might chase something or swing at it. But there were some borderline pitches that were actually hittable pitches that he just didn't want them. It's like he's to the point now where he's not swinging until it's not only a strike, but a certain strike in a certain area. And that's when you know that just everything just is slowing down for you up there. And when you're in these zones, you're like, oh, the hitting's easy, you know, and you wonder, like, what makes it stop? Luckily, it's been able to go here for almost the entire month. But at some point in time, you know, you go back to struggling. But I hope you're right, Dor, that he can go and, you know, continue on. But it's not easy. Hitting is not easy, but he's making it look easy now.
John, on the other side is Pat Bostic. Jack Sawinski is not playing well. What, if anything, can he do? Is AAA essential for him at this point, and how long do you think that lasts?
I mean, he's the big question mark for me. There's certain guys you can go up there and you could see something and say, oh, he needs to do this or makes this adjustment, that adjustment. I look at Jack and I scratch my head. It's so bizarre to me. You know, this is a guy, I'm pretty sure Ralph Kiner is the only Pirate that hit more home runs than Jack Sawinski in their first 2 years with the Pirates. I mean, that's how much power this guy has and how much impact he can make. And yet there's so much swing and miss. There's so much confusion there for me as far as, you know, I don't see anything that sticks out glaringly as far as mechanical. I know he's gone down to AAA before and he's been able to hit down there, but I think that the divide between AAA and the big leagues is maybe larger than ever. I think the pitching's that watered down there. But it's hard to keep throwing him into lineup. It's just hard. There's got to be a solution as far as the offense and figuring out ways to get guys in there that can do more. It's like every night it seems like we have a guy in there with a batting average under 200 and, you know, an OPS under 600. And, you know, we're halfway through the season now. And I don't know what other options are out there. I know a lot of teams are looking for offense throughout the league. I don't know how difficult it is to get an upgrade. This is a hard time to figure it out when you're struggling. And I know he played a lot over the weekend, first day here in Cincy. And, yeah, when you're struggling, like I said, how easy it is for Brian Reynolds right now, when it's hard to hit, it's a big league level. Like, when you're not feeling right at the plate and your timing's not there and you can't, you know, you're swinging through fastballs down the middle, yeah, this is a hard place to figure it out. It's not going to happen in the cage. So maybe he needs to get out there and get a bigger bulk of at-bats in AAA just to feel the bat hit the ball more often.
John, what do you got today? You got TV or do you got radio?
TV again today. TV to go. Hoping we're not going to have trouble with the weather. There's a little weather rolling through here today.
All right. Well, we'll be watching you. Thanks for joining the show. Talk to you
all
next
right,
week.
You guys doing a great job, by the way. I appreciate it. I just sit here and I listen to you guys, both of you, you know, the former athletes, the Pitt guys. You guys sound like announcers.
Well, I appreciate that, John.
I babble all over the place, and you guys read promos, and I'm like, holy smokes, listen to these guys. They're such pros.
Fake it till you make it, John.
Yeah, exactly.
Good job, fellas.
Thank you, John. Appreciate that. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, see you.
He's a man.
He's such a good dude. I mean, I've seen him up at Chartiers a bunch. He's just such a good guy.
Is he a good golfer?
He's a good player, yeah. The guy that we gave a little bit of a hard time to, Tommy Myers, is they're boys, and Tommy was a great baseball player, and he brings Wayner up there a bunch, and you know, Skip's up there, Jim Leland's up there, so it's like a reunion.
Yeah,
you know, Lanny Fratteri's there.
Yeah,
so it's fun. A lot of greatness.
Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection. Coming up next, what's next in Pat Bostic's mind? 50 Minute Mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Doug Whaley will join the show next. Doug Whaley is brought to you by Tri-State Office Furniture, the best in the business. Pat, what's next? The Steelers winning a Super Bowl? Pirates winning a World Series? Penguins winning a cup? Pitt football maybe win a national championship. Pitt basketball win a national championship. What's next for the city of Pittsburgh, the city of champions, to witness? I mean, it could be. I mean, who knows how long it might take.
I don't know if that question has ever been more difficult to answer just based on the uncertainty. I think, can I say Pitt volleyball winning a national championship?
Yes, you can.
Because I think that would be my bet. I think the team that could be positioned to win a Super Bowl or championship. So hard. The Pirates have too many gaps. The Penguins are about to go through, I think, a rough patch, transitional period of time where they have to rebuild through the draft and through youth, and it's sadly going to signal the end of a great era. And that happens in sports I think the Steelers are heading towards that direction as well. I think they're still hanging on.
Mm-hmm.
They're still hanging on to competitiveness and relevance. I mean, if I had to put it, I would say Pitt basketball, honestly, mm-hmm. in mm-hmm. terms of like who I think has shown the most growth over the last couple years and is starting to recruit at a higher level. I think Jeff Capel has really revived this thing, and they've got to go do it. They didn't make the tournament last year, been well documented, but I mean, they're about to have a first round draft pick tonight, probably in Bub Carrington, and they got Jalen Lowe coming back and a bunch of high profile recruits considering the program again. And I just think the market for Pitt basketball and what it can be in this town, we haven't felt it in a long time. We're starting to feel it again. And don't sleep on that, especially if all the pro franchises aren't in the mix like they used to be.
Yeah, I mean, thinking about the pro franchises, and if I had to answer that question, but answer it in a different way, I would say like the closest is the Pirates. Like the closest to that. Not actually winning one, but I, you know, right now, as I see it, I think the Pirates are the close. Like, if the Pirates make some necessary moves this offseason or even at the trade deadline, like, and you hope that maybe the NL would be somewhat like it is now, like, I could see them being the closest of having that opportunity.
If they, the issue I have with them is they're just not structured to do it. I mean, there's such a disparity between them and the top of the league in terms of how they spend that I just feel like it's such an uphill climb. The Steelers, like as we sit here today, the best chance I think of a team that to compete and make a run is the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
I really feel that way, because of what they have on defense, because of how they're built and the way they play, they'll be in the mix. Now, I don't think they're good enough to get over the top. That's just my opinion. If the Pirates put a bunch of money into this thing, we've said it before, I'll say it again, they could grab this town by the throat and have this place captivated, especially with the talent they have at the mound. I don't know if they'll do it. History would tell us that they won't.
Yep.
It's disappointing because of all the things that could align
right
for them to be just a golden ticket in this town for people to go and go see. I mean, you got a generational talent, maybe two of them, and they're here for 5 years. At least, you know, just remember that 13 game, that wild card game.
Yes.
I've never seen anything like it.
Right.
I've been backyard brawls, Pitt, Penn State, Steelers, Ravens, never seen anything like it because it was so new and so novel. You know, I just wish if there could be a communal power to compel them to go all in, man, do it. If they did that, it's an easy answer.
Yep. Yeah, take advantage of the opportunity. Thank you, Pat, by the way.
Well, thank you much.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Enjoy Mr. Whale. You guys have a good time. I'll be tuned in. I'm driving out to see Mr. Bowser.
There we go.
And the power of Bowser in Jefferson Hills. Got to say hello to my guy, so I'll be tuned in to you guys.
Sounds good. We'll see you tomorrow, Pat. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. 24 Silverado LT Crew Cab up to $7,500 in rebates. Full terms and qualifications at sunchevy.com. Today, high of 89, low of 60, partly cloudy. Tomorrow, high of 84, low of 66, 60% chance of rain.